This morning, I'd like to reflect a little bit upon Colossians chapter 3, which I alluded to in the children's message. But before I do that, I need to read the lead up to the middle half of chapter 3, because you can't have these verses 12 to 17 without hearing what comes before them. So I'm going to read a little bit from chapter 3, verses 5, and up to about verse 10 or so. Paul tells the church in Colossae to put to death whatever in you is earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming to those who are disobedient. These are the ways you once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. This passage reminds me of one of my favorite Christmas movies that I didn't get to watch this year, A Christmas Story. It's the classic of my generation, anyway. It's about Ralphie and his family. You might remember Ralphie in this movie. The entire movie, he's trying to get his parents and Santa Claus to soften up to the idea of him getting a Red Ryder BB gun. And you might remember throughout the movie, everybody tells him, "You're going to shoot your eye out, kid." Which he kind of does at the end of the movie. One of the funnier scenes in the movie is towards the end when Ralphie and his brother are opening up their presents on Christmas morning, and Ralphie opens up a present from his aunt, which is a full pink bunny footy pajama suit with pink ears, head to toe, everything is pink. Not the kind of gift that a 9 or 10-year-old little boy would want to receive. He's mortified by it. But what does his mom make him do? She makes him go and put on the pink footy bunny pajamas. The pajamas make Ralphie look ridiculous, and you can see in him that he's angry that he has to wear them. It's not comfortable. It's just not what he wants to be. He's a 9-year-old boy. No boy would want to wear that kind of a thing. They make him look miserable. And you can tell that he would love nothing more than to take them off and to burn them. But mercifully, his father allows him to go back upstairs and take off the footy pajamas. In the first half of Colossians 3, Paul tells the church in Colossians, or in Colossae, to take off, to put off, as if it's like the worst, most itchy, terrible, soiled clothing they have, to take off their old selves. These selves that are full of malice and anger and sin and lying, to take these things off, like they're a little boy wearing pink pajamas. But the thing is, you can't take something off without putting something else on. And that's what our reading from Colossians this morning is about putting on the things that we're supposed to be wearing as Christians. Paul implores the church to clothe themselves with virtues that are becoming of people who follow Jesus Christ. Now, this is a nice passage. It's a nice list. It's a thing to aspire to. But as I read Scripture, these kind of passages really are ones that I often find myself not liking the most. Because I read passages like this and I see where I'm supposed to clothe myself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. I'm supposed to bear with other people. I'm supposed to forgive them. Clothe myself in love, be thankful, have gratitude in my heart, and all I can think is feebly, okay, I'll try. It's difficult. I'm gonna fail. I don't do well at this. And then I read the end of the passage and I hear Paul say, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus." And I think, well, that's discouraging, because I sure don't do everything in Christ's name. In fact, there are things in my life, and I'm assuming the same for you, where you are hoping that the Lord does not see you. And you would hope that people don't think that what you're doing reflects upon Jesus Christ. A passage like this is like opening up a magazine full of really beautiful people. You know, they have bulging muscles, they've got their, you know, perfect abs, flawless skin, beautiful hair, 0% body fat, and you just think, that's not me. And they're eating brownies too, you know, or subs, and you're thinking, I'll never be like that. Even if I start again on January 1st to try and be like that, I'm not going to be like that. I'll never be that guy. A passage like this shows me who I am not, at the same time that it shows me who I am supposed to be. It's why I often don't like verses like this. They are convicting, discouraging. To make matters worse for this particular passage in Colossians 3 is that these virtues that Paul gives us are not things that you can just do by yourself. In other words, I can't go and practice kindness in a cave somewhere or on an island by myself. I can't go and perfect it there. I can't go and perfect being compassionate or patient in a place where I'm by myself, in the vacuum of space, anywhere. I can't do it by myself, because these are only virtues that are exhibited when you're living in and amongst other people who, chances are just as sinful as you are. Which makes it much, much more difficult, doesn't it? These are virtues: kindness, compassion, patience, forgiveness, that we can't practice, can't do outside of doing them for or to another person. Paul leaves these instructions for the church in Colossae. And so while this passage shows us definitely our shortcomings, and what we should aspire to be like, or who we should aspire to be like, we can be thankful for one thing: that this is a word given to Christians. This is a word given to those who have faith in Christ, who have been transformed by Jesus, by the cross, by the blood of Christ shed for you. You have been transformed by Christ. And as one transformed, you have the Spirit living in you, working in you. That's why we get so many lists like this in the letters of Paul, because he's writing to people who have been transformed, who have faith in Christ, who have been made new. In fact, this language that Paul is using here, this language about putting off old clothing and putting on new clothing, is the language of baptism. It was commonly used as a language of baptism. What happens in baptism? In baptism, your old self, that old sinner in you, is drowned until he can't breathe no more. And then in baptism, you are raised and made new. You are given the clothing of Christ. In fact, Paul talks about that in other places, that you have been clothed with Christ. You wear Jesus Christ on you now. You have the Spirit living in you. And so this passage is a call to Christians, to those who are saved, who have experienced Jesus Christ, to live how God has made you, to live as God has already made you to be. And what are you? It says it for us in verse 12. You are God's chosen ones. Ones selected, chosen, drafted by God. And what does He call you? He calls you holy and beloved. That is who you are in Christ's eyes. That is you, who you are as the Spirit of God dwells in you. That is your identity. You have been claimed by God. And why are you called to be compassionate, kind, humble, meek, and patient, bearing with one another, forgiving one another? Two reasons. First is because Christ has already done that for you. He has shown His kindness. He has shown His humility. He has shown His meekness, His compassion to you through the cross. He has transformed you. He has made you new, and His Spirit dwells in you. And by His Spirit, you are enabled to be like this, because this is the example of Christ. That's the second thing. He is our example. And we hear that when Paul says, "Forgive each other just as the Lord has forgiven you." It's kind of a two-in-one. It's not only an example that God gives us, it's a thing that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And the thing that He has done for us is the only reason we can live the example. In being all those things for us by the way of His death and resurrection, Christ has enabled you by baptism, by receiving the Spirit, to do these things that Paul gives us. And at home, or in Bible study, or in small group, or whatever, that's where we figure out what it means to live compassionate. We ask each other, what does it mean to live as a compassionate person, or as a humble person, or how can I better be kind to others? We encourage each other. We build each other up in these things, to do these things. And as we do this, we hear again these words from Paul in Colossians, where he says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Because as one claimed by Him, Christ is there. Let it rule in your heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Because the Word is there. You have been transformed. Let it dwell in you. Dwell upon it. As I said, in Bible study, in worship, in personal study at home, dwell upon it. Invite the Lord to come into you, to continue to transform you, to make you new, to live according to how you were made to be in baptism. We daily put off the old self and invite the Lord to work in us. And when we fail, because we always fail, we remember to go back to where our life began, which is where we were given the clothing of Christ, in the cross, in the resurrection, where the Lord has won forgiveness for us. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we do give You thanks for Your Word and for these reminders and these commands to be these ways. More than that, Lord, we thank You that You have forgiven us and made us into new people. And we ask that Your Spirit would work in us, making us to be who You desire us to be. Help us, Lord, to come before You in humility, seeking forgiveness and seeking Your help to be a Christian, to be a person that is a good ambassador for Your love to this world. Lord, too, we pray that as a church You would help us to be giving. We pray, Lord, that today You would help us to choose what our mission of the month of January should be, and that we could support this mission wholeheartedly in prayer, and with our gifts that you have given us. We pray this in your name. Amen.